You know, I've told you several times, most of the lessons that I present to you are lessons that are relevant to me. I'm not a trained preacher, which is obvious. But I am experienced in life. And one of the things that's happened over the past 2 months is that I've had to deal with death again and again and again and again. My brother Jim, my son Tim, my dear friend James Curry, who I could tell you 100 stories about, my brother Gary McDonald, who started me on the ministry that has consumed my life for 53 years, my brother Jim Harris Savage, who all of us have had experiences with, and our sister Donna Pickens, who has to be one of our all-time favorite people. That's a lot of people to die in a short period of time. And the negative aspects of death is something I guess we're all familiar with. I think sometimes it's the selfish missing of those that we love that precipitates that. It may be the fear of the unknown. But every now and then we need to stop and look at death from a Christian perspective. By the way, next Sunday we'll talk about life. So we'll give you some balance here. But the biblical view of death is far, far, far different than what's in our world today. Psalms 116, verse 15 says, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints." Five of the six people I just listed were saints. And those of us that knew Donna Pickens or Jim Harris Savage, we wouldn't question that statement. But we need to have a biblical view of death. And it's important, I think, to understand that this affects how we look at life. So let me suggest some things to you. First of all, let's understand that death is a removal from evil and being at peace. Listen to Isaiah 57, beginning with verse 1. And remember, in your bulletin, all of these passages are listed. If you didn't get a bulletin, we have many copies. But that passage says, "The righteous man perishes, and no one lays it to heart. Devout men are taken away, while no one understands." Now listen to this. "For the righteous man is taken away from calamity. He enters peace. They rest in their beds who walk in their uprightness." Just think what you won't have to endure once you get out of here. No more evil. No politics. That's worth quite a bit right there. No COVID. No pollution. No illness. No heat. Before long, we'll be griping about the cold, won't we? You know, the story of the rich man and Lazarus is interesting to me in Luke 16, beginning at verse 22. We're told that the poor man died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. Now you can study what that meant to the people that Jesus was talking to, Abraham's bosom. It is a parable. It is a picture that would have given them great joy and great appreciation and great satisfaction. But the rest of that verse says, "The rich man also died and was buried." That's it. That's all there is. There's no discussion of anything else. What a contrast. What a difference. Christians are released from suffering. God gives them what they never had before. And Lazarus is the classic example of that. Death is a removal from evil and being at peace. A lot of us like to fish. And some of you don't understand fishing. But let me tell you, one of my problems is I get out in the boat and I forget to put a lure in the water. Because fishing is a time of peace. Being away from all the stuff that goes on in life. And that's about the best we can do in this life. And imagine being in a circumstance where you have absolutely nothing but peace. None of the stuff that you worried about when you got up this morning. None of the stuff that you see on your news channel, no matter what you look at. I'd also like to point out to you that death is a departure. Do you ever notice that the apostles use that word? It's in Exodus. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 6, Paul says, "For I am ready to be poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come." Peter said in 2 Peter 1 and verse 15, "I will make every effort so that after my departure, you may be able at any time to recall these things." The Greek word exodos is what is translated departure in these translations. It's the same root word that talks about the Israel's exodus from Egypt bondage. Just think of what your loved one is escaping from. I don't know whether Paul, whether Carl can put this up or not. I will put this up here. Let's see what happens. Get centered. There we go. That's me reading to Tim a couple of days before he died. You know, most of you that know Tim recognize what Tim really looked like. But what I just showed you is what he looked like before his exodus. Five of our guys went down and saw Jim Harris Savage right before he passed away. And when they came back, they said, "You know, he looks so different than what we remember Jim to be." Just think of what your loved one is escaping from. Death is not a negative. It's an exodus. It's a departure. Now, departures are scary. If you've made a move recently from one house to another house, that was kind of scary, wasn't it? You don't know about the neighborhood. When Denise and John moved in next door to us, we didn't know what was coming. We've been very, very happy with what came. But there have been times when people moved in next door that were not what you would prefer. Let's just leave it there. And going to heaven is the same thing, isn't it? It's hard for us to visualize what heaven must be like. But it's a departure from all the bad stuff that's here. For the Christian, death is a gain. Philippians 1, starting with verse 21, "For me to live is Christ and to die is gain," Paul says. I am hard pressed between the two. My desire is to depart, there's that word again, to be with Christ. For that is far better. Bill told you about how we got to the songs we're using today. When I told him my sermon Wednesday night, I told him my sermon was going to be on death. I sort of get this funny look. What in the world am I going to lead? So when I got home, I opened up our songbook and I started looking at all the songs that we sing that talk about what I'm talking about right now. Listen to this list. Only in thee. These are all in your book, number 519. Only in thee. Number 72, which we will be singing, Beyond the Sunset. Number 9, A Wonderful Savior. Number 645, The Old Rugged Cross. Number 684, This World Is Not My Home. Really, believe that? When you sing it, do you believe it? 581, Sing on, you joyful pilgrims. Can you be joyful about the fact that this life is the worst you're ever going to put up with if you're a Christian? That's pretty joyful. Number 347, Here We Are, But Strange Pilgrims. Number 55, Beyond This Land of Parting. Number 333, In the Land of Fadeless Day. And then it talks about lies a city four square. Try that one on for size. Number 456, No Tears in Heaven. Do we believe that? In 2 Corinthians 5, starting with verse 6, Paul says to the Corinthians, So we are always of good courage. We know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. I want you to focus on that for a minute. We walk by faith, not by sight. Don't you really hate having doubts? You say, I don't ever have any doubts. Oh, really? I don't know anybody that doesn't have doubts. Things happen in this life. People do stupid things. We lose people we love. But we walk by faith. I don't like that. I don't want to just have faith. I want to have sight. I want to have confidence. He goes on and he says, yes, we are of good courage. And we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. You know, there's a lot of songs that talk about being with Jesus. Faith? No. Sight? Yeah. What a wonderful thing. God has built into us an instinctive desire to live, to fulfill our purpose in being. But there's a lot of times when I would love to just check out. A lot of times when I don't want to have my purpose anymore. But any move brings uncertainty. But for the Christian, there's a future. Listen to 1 Thessalonians 4, starting with verse 13. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep. See, that's the reason for this sermon this morning. That's the reason I chose this topic. I needed to learn some stuff. I was studying it because I was struggling. I've had too much death around me in the last 2 months. That you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. when I went to pick up Tim's things at the nursing home, I was kidding around with one of the nurses, and one of the ladies said to me, "How can you be so happy? Your son just died." I said, "No. No, my son didn't just die, he just escaped." And she said, "You know, he convinced me I need to look into this Christianity business." I thought, you know, here's my mentally challenged son with all his difficulties. And even after he has died, he has led somebody to look into the teachings of Jesus Christ. What excuse do I have? This passage in 1 Thessalonians 4 goes on and it says, "For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even some through Jesus, God will bring him with him those who have fallen asleep." Think about those who are in the world. But think about those who reject God, who have no future beyond this life. You know, one of the things I struggle with is how's God going to handle the fact that I'm in heaven and my brother is not? How am I going to handle that? My father, who died as an atheist. And I don't have the answer to that. I don't know how God's going to handle that. I don't want to come across to you this morning saying I got all the answers. I don't. I walk by faith just like you do. But we need to be encouraged by what death means to a Christian. Revelation 14 and verse 12 says, "Here is a call for the saints in keeping God's commands and remaining faithful to Jesus." That's the call of Revelation. In the next verse, he says, "And I heard a voice from heaven saying, write this, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Blessed indeed, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, for their deeds shall follow them." In 1 Thessalonians 5, starting with verse 9, we read, "For God has not destined us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or whether we are asleep, we might live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you were doing." For Christians, death is not a bad subject. I can get pretty emotional about watching people who are in pain. My wife will tell you my tears flow readily when I see suffering on television. I don't like to watch movies where people are suffering. You get past Mary Poppins and I'm out of there. But death doesn't bother me. Not of a Christian. I have shed no tears about Tim. I mean, man, when I think about Tim, I don't think about this. I think about this. And about the fact that his words demonstrated such understanding. He could barely talk after COVID hit him. But at least on three different occasions, he talked about, "Dad, I'll be able to see again soon, won't I?" He's been blind since he was 13. And then he said, "And Dad, the first thing I want to see is Mom." His mother, who passed away in 2008. He wasn't worried about death. He wasn't afraid. What a blessing. So how do we handle the death of someone we care about? Let me make a few suggestions. Number one, understand what we have talked about this morning. Let me encourage you to take the lesson which is outlined in your bulletin and read the back cover and go through that lesson and look up those scriptures and see what God tells you as a Christian about death. Number two, realize God wants you to be saved. You know, I think sometimes the media has given us the idea that God is up there in the heavens somewhere looking for people to zap. No. God wants you to be saved, but he's not going to force you to be saved. We have a God who cares about life and his creatures. He cares about you. Number three, understand that God is merciful and forgiving. Most of you, if you've been listening to me for the last 25 years, have heard me talk about the fact I have a hard time believing God can forgive me for my earlier life. I have a hard time with that, but God doesn't have a hard time. When I look at what God has forgiven, well, we talked about David a couple of weeks ago. Look what God forgave. We look at Paul and what Paul did to the early church, and God forgave him. God is merciful. He wants you to be saved, but he's not going to force you. And a couple of practical things. Number four, give yourself time to heal. Give yourself time to heal. If you're new to the death of a loved one, understand the pain will never completely go away, but it will get less and less and less. And God provides you with answers to the pain you feel. You remember what happened when our Lord learned that Lazarus had died? What's the shortest verse in the Bible? Jesus wept. He understands the pain of death. He understands what we go through. And the last point is get busy in ministry. Get busy. Don't isolate yourself and sit there thinking about everything that has taken place. I've told some of you this story before. When Phil died, I went through a period of almost 6 months. Every night of working on something connected with my ministry until I fell asleep, frequently slumped over the computer. But that was my lifeblood. There are so many people that have gotten involved in ministry, catalyzed, sped up, initiated by the death of someone they love. In our prison ministry, we have 8 people who are grading correspondence courses from prisoners all over the country. Right now, I have 4,200 students that are studying my 2 lessons. But what's interesting is that I think every single one of us, at least the ones that I know, got started on prison ministry when there was a death close to them, somebody they loved, somebody they cared about. That was their active ministry. For some, it was visitation. For some, it was an encouragement business with the phone. Donna Pickens was my classic example. But there's one sitting over here. If you haven't gotten a call from Bill Solomons, it's just because he hadn't gotten to you yet, because he has been so active in a ministry of calling and encouraging. It's a good thing he's not paying phone rates anymore. He'd go broke. Get busy in ministry. And the purpose of the congregation, this congregation here, is to help people find ministry. Because there's not a single person here that can't do some wonderful things, and a lot of wonderful things are being done. I could talk about just about every person here and tell you things they are involved in ministry. This lesson has been predominantly for Christians, but the question that you have to ask yourself, the questions I have to ask myself, what is my status? I'm 83 years old. Am I ready to die? Or am I afraid of death? Oh, I know, we have an instinctive resistance to death. That's built into us. Unless there's some kind of mental illness or some other problem with our thinking process and our ability to work, we all have that. It's built into us. It's important. You ever wonder why it is that the suicide rate in America and the United States today is the highest ever in history? There has never been a time in American history when more people were killing themselves than are happening in America today. Why is that? Because we have so many people that have discarded faith in God. And when life gets rough, when things don't go the way they want it to, and I, as an atheist, I sat on my bed with a gun pointed at my chest, trying to have enough guts to lean into it and end my life. That was the logical approach for me as an atheist. And I still will never understand why that firing pin broke in that gun. But that's what happened. And you can say, well, God broke off the firing pin. I don't know whether I would go that far or not. But what is your status? If you die before this day is over, where are you? Death is one of the great motivators for us to be what God wants us to be. And one of the great, great helps in that is thinking about what happens beyond the sunset when life ends. As we stand together and sing the song Bill has selected, if you need to have prayers, if you need to respond to God's invitation, we invite you to do that as we stand together and sing. Let's sing together.